Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Have you ever stopped to wonder why you have an emotional reaction or response in certain situations? Emotional patterns are formed early in childhood and become deeply ingrained over our lifetime, habitual, shaped by a combination of our childhood experiences, ongoing social interactions, and personal interpretations of events that become our beliefs. These patterns influence everything from how we perceive and react to stress through to how we form and maintain relationships, even the relationship with ourselves. Children learn through observing our emotional responses and by experiencing the consequences of their emotional expressions in social interactions. The habit is formed through repetition, which means it can also be adjusted by adopting and repeating more positive emotional habits. Qualified kinesiologist and mother, Geraldine Zadkiel specializes in anxiety, depression, and childhood trauma, which is a very personal subject. Geraldine, you've been working with people for more than 18 years. How has your practice evolved over that time?
So the work that I do is predominantly working with the subconscious now and energetic and somatic patterning that causes disharmony. So we're really looking at patterning that creates emotional triggers, patterning of generational patterns that are repeated. And I work with these patterns individually and in a group. And as I work with those patterns, I then also teach people how to do that for themselves.
You weren't born this way. So let's go back to, you know, your childhood and your life experience. Where did you grow up and what was your family dynamic like?
Yeah, so look, I grew up in a little country town in South Australia. And my family dynamics was one of trauma. So there was, for my first few years, there was lots of domestic violence. And then after my parents separated, I was also separated from my siblings as well because I was the youngest of five. And then I was in a really vulnerable position and was sexually abused for 4 years during that time. So I had a lot of trauma in my childhood. I left home when I was 15 and started my own journey of my life. So I guess I could say that the first 30 years of my life was a bit of a struggle. And I really did suffer with negative self-talk. I suffered with anxiety, depression, PTSD, you name it. I'm sure that I was there. I was very high functioning. So I worked in corporate. I moved from Adelaide to Melbourne when I was 21 and I managed to, you know, be quite high up in corporate and earning a very substantial income. And then when I was about 35, I think it was just all leaking out of me. I really was in a lot of trauma still, with lots of subconscious patterning and reactions. And I actually met a guy who was really calm and he was a kinesiologist. And I was kind of like, I need to be a little bit like that. I need a bit of that. And so I booked in the next day to study kinesiology without ever knowing what it was about and went on a 5-year healing journey, which pretty much was the start of what I do now. So everything I do with my clients, I have experienced myself. So I know what works and what doesn't work. I spend a lot of time pushing the energy boundaries on emotional trauma, like how far you can go before you do go into a traumatic response. So I guess from my own learnings and then obviously working with clients, I've been able to develop my own program that I now deliver in lots of different ways, really.
In your 30s, what did your life look like? Were you single, married? Did you have children?
No, I wasn't. I didn't have any children. I had a couple of, I would say, destructive relationships. And a lot of that destruction was based on my own self-worth as well. So I wasn't in a healthy relationship by any stretch of the imagination. Some of the core patterns that filtered through my life were betrayal. So there was lots of betrayal that happened, and I can attribute that back to the core betrayal of not being safe in my environment as I was growing up. So yeah, where I was in a very high pressure job. I was traveling around Australia managing corporate events, but in my own time, I was kind of, if I could really be honest, I was dying inside. Like I just had this emotional pain inside me that had no avenue to be released or understood in any real form.
What have you learned through your, you know, the methodologies you've trialed to heal yourself about what you required as a child?
What I required is the same as what everybody requires, which is our core human need of safety and love. So feeling safe in your environment and feeling loved and connected in your environment is generally what I understand. I am writing a book at the moment around generational patterns and things like that. So what I did learn is that, and this will sound really strange, but it's not that my parents were bad or that they meant to cause harm. They actually were never taught any skills themselves. So they had their own trauma, and there was generational traumas that come through there as well. So there was no education or support in that generation for them to even understand. So if you've got parents who don't have any skills or emotional well-being skills, don't have any support, then they don't actually really know how to love themselves, let alone look after a container of children that are coming up through the generation and what they need, because their needs were not met either. So I guess for me, the understanding of that and the forgiveness and the real clarity of that creates a freedom in itself. For me, some of the things that I needed to heal was that, you know, it wasn't my fault, that it's potentially was not my energy, it's not something that I did, that I, you know, that this happened, you know, and then learning that these were not just something that can be whisked away with talk therapy. Okay, so talking about my problems was not even going to touch the surface, because they had become neural pathways. So the belief systems that I was unworthy or I didn't belong here or that I wasn't loved had become a neural pathway, which is in our subconscious. So one of the greatest gifts that I guess I offer now is understanding this and understanding how to work with that subconscious and your physical body where these patterns are stored to actually clear them. And one of the things that I have acknowledged and over time come to the conclusion of is that it doesn't take a long time to change them. So it doesn't take years and months and ongoing weekly therapy sessions to do this. It actually takes an understanding and some new practices to actually change that. And I guess the practices that I deliver in my book and my courses and my retreats is really that once you start doing them, they become the same as just brushing your teeth each day.
Considering the importance of parenting and even teaching in raising a child, where do you think this whole catch-22 begins for us to start providing the environments children need?
Yeah, it has to start with us individually. We have to first accept that we didn't have that. Like often people will say, I'm going to do it differently to my parents. They either repeat the pattern or they go the complete opposite. But even the complete opposite is coming from a place of pain and fear, as opposed from a place of centeredness where you can actually make a clear choice. So it's not about rejecting the negative. It's about giving the negative a voice, like this is where we're at, and just learning new tools for yourself and then teaching those new tools to your own children.
Do you think it should be part of our education that, you know, I know that they teach sex ed, but what role do you think education around parenting and psychology and healing the trauma before we become a parent and have the tools would play in our society?
From my perspective, I think that we're still missing the link. We have been so focused on our physical well-being through the ages. Our medical system is purely physical, not really only just now, even now, still getting missed, but not really looking at the impacts of stress and the emotional well-being and things like that. You know, taking a pill to make grief go away when grief is a natural response, learning new tools to deal with anger. Anger is a valid emotion. We've been taught to fear anger. It can't be expressed. It's unacceptable. It's at the root of all violence and things like that. And that's true. You're absolutely right. It's true. But with the right avenue to clear it and not project it outwards, then anger is a valid emotion. It is basically our expectation versus our reality. So when we start looking at that, we need to understand that education has to include the emotional aspect. And we're not doing that. We're not providing practical tools to deal with how you're physically feeling when you feel rejected, when bullying happens. Is there any boundaries there? Is it your stuff? If somebody's yelling at you, is that your stuff, or is it that person is in pain in some form? You know, these are really important things that children need to be taught, especially in this world that's quite chaotic.
Well, they're having anger and frustration and intolerance modelled to them from world leaders. It's quite a scary place to be in for a child, I would think, because the whole media is dominated by some pretty negative messaging. And recently I spoke with Luke Taylor from the Centre for Social Justice in the UK, who actually compiled a report about a generation of boys and youth that they're now, and adolescents, that they're now terming lost boys. So I'm wondering what pressure this and the loss of family connection has put on the generations we're seeing now through Gen Y and Z.
Absolutely. So where's the role models? Even if there's no role models, I guess it's really about education and teaching them about their own emotional body, their own, you know, physical body and how stress interacts with that. So, you know, we go from 0 to 100 to get angry, but we can interrupt that process really easily, actually. It's very, very simple. Simple things that should be part of just our normal life, but they're not being taught. And I think that's where the disconnect comes. And the bullying is just an expression of anger that's being projected outwards that has nowhere else to go. I work with teenagers with bullying, and as soon as I teach them that they have their own energy field, they can have a boundary, not just a physical boundary, but an emotional, energetic boundary. And this boundary means that you start to change your perception. So if people are bullying you and saying mean things to you, that's their pain. That means something's going on for them in their home or in their life. And not to take it personally. Yeah, when we stop taking it personally, that's when it changes. That's when, you know, we're not going to then internalize that. And, you know, that's going to prevent suicide and things like that, because it's that internalization. This must be my fault. I must not be enough that someone's treating me like this, as opposed to seeing the problem that's actually in front of us right now, which is people are angry and upset because they're hurting, not because they're mean, nasty children or things like that. They haven't felt loved and safe, and they're still seeking that.
Why did you choose to focus on the male population in, you know, designing men's retreats particularly?
Yeah, look, I mean, I work with women as well. I am doing some retreats for women in domestic violence. There's a program that I've just become part of, which is being launched, called Relaunch Your Life, which is amazing. But with the men, I have a 13-year-old son. And I think it's really, really important that we start addressing this energy for boys. Like you said, the teenagers are coming into being lost boys. They're escaping into games. Where's the support for the boys? Yeah, I had a client the other day and he's got a teenage boy. And I said, like, how are you talking to him? Do you know what he's doing online? Is he being bullied online? And he's like, oh, no, he's okay. And I'm like, but you're not having the conversation. Are you having the conversation with him about pornography and the effects of that? Like, really bringing up some big issues that the fathers should be having these conversations with their children. And so bringing that up, he was like really shocked and went, oh, wow, no, I'm not. And I need to be. And how do I do that? And can you help me like really structure how I can do that so that I can, you know, rebuild my relationships? So these are really important things. I guess so that was the main thing for my own son. I want him to grow up feeling healthy and happy and safe and loved. And then on the other side of that, 8 men suicide a day in Australia. So these are our fathers, our brothers, our friends, and it's a problem and nobody's really dealing with this. Like, you know, we're dealing with it on the surface still, But underneath that, we're still looking at the inner child of all of these men who never felt safe and loved as well.
Like parenting skills, we're not all born with good communication skills either. How important is that as a first step, not only communicating with others, but with ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. Communication is really important. Well, self-talk is really important as well. One of the things that I do teach is actually self-love, and I do bring in the five languages of love. But self-love is really about how we communicate to ourselves. When I was really struggling, the amount of people that would say to me when I was in trauma, you just need to love yourself. I didn't know how to love myself. How could I know how to love myself? I never felt safe and I never was given the tools to love myself. So we start by simplifying that and make it a simple action. So you find out what your love language is. You write a list of all the ways you can give your own love language to yourself. And it's not negotiable. You do it every day, just one thing every day. It's not negotiable. Love yourself. If your love language is time, then go for a walk on the beach. If your love language is positive words, then listen to a great podcast that's really positive, or listen to some positive music. Words are important. If it's gifts, go buy yourself some flowers, or, you know, book a massage. So they're really simple ways. But first, we need to identify that we are loved. When I did this process, I realized that people did love me. Not that I, you know, I may have thought that I was unloved, but people did love me, but not the way I needed to feel loved. So they often gave me their love language, and that was not my love language. And when you go into that, I realized that, you know, my parents actually loved me, but they gave me their love language. So if their love language was acts of service, it was never landed in my heart because mine was time. So therefore, I can see that that was just a perception that I wasn't loved. People did love me, but we need to learn how to give and receive love as well, not from watching movies and the romantic, you know, maybe get it right, maybe not get it right, but really understand love is an action, and that action is not negotiable for us.
And like all actions, do we need to practice it as well?
Absolutely. So giving love to someone else, like, so my love language is time. And if I want to give love language to someone who might be positive words, that's not something that I need someone to tell me all the time. I have to consciously give that. But I want them to feel loved by me, so I'm going to work out ways to do that, because it really is about me giving love to them, and it's a gift. It has to be what they need. It can't be just what I think they need. Or if it's acts of service, you know, I need to consciously go, oh, wow, okay, today I could do this, and that would be an act of service, and that person would feel loved by me.
I've never heard self-love described better than what you just did, because like you, I've had those messages, you know, like it's all about loving yourself and you need to love yourself. And I was criticized a lot as a child and right through my teenage years, and then bullied in high school, and that continued into adult life. So of course, you know, the depression, the anxiety, I looked at, why should I love myself? Other people don't love me, or they display, you know, behaviors towards me that I'm not lovable. And so that is, honestly, it's a big leap for me, and I'm looking forward to learning more, particularly about love language.
Yeah, so this is what I'm really passionate about, like making that a practical tool that you can use every day. I'm writing this book, and it's a living book. I will say it's a living book. It's a frequency of energy that creates a feeling inside of you. And the reason is just exactly what you've just mentioned, because we read these books, but we don't make them about ourselves. I've read many books, and people read books all the time, self-care books and whatnot, and they go, oh, but that's about someone else. But this is about you. So the way I want to really interact with people is to empower them to know that it's about you, and that it's, there are quite simple processes you can do to change these perceptions that we've been carrying around that cause so much pain for you that you've just described. And that pain is a normal response to what you experience, the bullying and feeling unloved and unworthy. So we're not broken, is what I'm trying to say. And I think the reason that I do really want to communicate this way and create these tools is because when I was going through my journey, people often told me what was wrong with me. got fear of abandonment, you've got fear of betrayal, you lack trust, you know, all of these things, which are really normal things for what I experienced. But no one ever told me what to do in the moment when it happened. Like when I was going 0 to 100 in anger or feeling rejected or behaving the way I was, nobody ever told me what to do in those moments. And that's what I needed. I needed someone to tell me what to do because I really didn't know how to change the pattern. And I guess that's why I've created what I've created, because I want people to know that they can change those patterns. They can change those belief systems, those neural pathways, those behaviors. They're not who they are. They're just a result of the trauma. And that it's really quite simple.
How do becoming a parent challenge another layer, the onion? Because it's like that for me. I felt like every layer I peeled back in my journey since my teens and 20s, there's been something else underneath that. And then children just added another dimension to the layers of what I didn't understand about myself. So how was that for you?
Yeah, it's been a challenge, that's for sure. I guess the first thing that is a challenge was a challenge for me is, oh my God, I need to keep this person alive. Like when I left the hospital, I was like, I've got this human being and it's such a big responsibility, you know. But then I guess as you go through, it's really just about, it's a healing journey. Everything is a rite of passage and there is no end to our growth. People think that we go and do a healing and then it's done. We don't, we're human beings. We're going to keep growing. There's always going to be something. So I think it's not about how you cope with it. It's how you change and adjust and learn and grow, I guess, without judgment and punishing yourself. So yeah, it's, you know, you're still the same person. Like pushed into a corner, I have a default pattern that was created when I was young on how I respond to that. So that's going to happen anyway. So I can either punish myself for that or I can learn new ways to navigate my way around it. And I guess that's what I'm trying to share is learning new ways. So people either yell or withdraw when they get angry. I yell. So I can, you know, now most of the time not do that. But there's some times where it leaks out and you get pushed into a corner and that's what happens. But it's what you do after it. So like even when my son was 4 or even when he was even younger, if that leaked out of me, I would talk to him. I would apologize to him. I'd explain it to him that that is my energy. That is my stuff. This is not your fault. This is not about you. And just create that boundary so that he knows right from the get-go. I've taught him so well that if I end up getting triggered, he can turn around and he says, actually, Mum, that's not my stuff. And I'm so proud of him because it's not.
This has been a fabulous introduction to your knowledge, to your passion, to your experience. Geraldine, I would love to continue individual conversations around some of the points we've raised in this. I mean, you work with teenagers, you work with men, you work with women and domestic violence. I think there's a great scope for further stories here. So thank you so much for your time today. And I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kim. It's been so wonderful talking to you.
Kinesiologist, coach and mother Geraldine Zadkiel. If you're interested in her work or upcoming book release, all the links are in the show notes. I'll certainly be practicing my love language to facilitate an increase in self-love. You can connect with me through my website, where you'll find contacts, my early childhood approved picture books and social media platforms. I'm Kim Clyden. Until next week, remember to be the change you want to see in the world.